This is the Thanks for Sharing podcast, the podcast where we explore all things recovery, healing, and relationship.
Remember, you can subscribe and download episodes in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on the Podbean app. And you can find more Thanks for Sharing at www.thanksforsharingpodcast.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/healingpaths. That's paths with an S.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Thanks for Sharing podcast. I'm Jackie P.
I'm John T.
Today is our fourth episode in our series of Traits of Functional Adulthood.
Yep.
And today we're going to be talking about taking full responsibility for our issues of needing and wanting.
Now, this one, as we listen to Pia Melody talk about it, like, here's another series. So put this on your calendar. It's coming. Like, we're going to do a 14-part series on this one. Because there's a lot. So we're going to focus on a really narrow piece of this, but I did want to kind of give the overview of what she talks about around needing and wanting. She says that functional adults don't whine and hang out and wait for others to do things for them. She says functional adults can ask for help without shame or guilt. They're interdependent, whereas when we're not functional adults, we are either codependent or anti-dependent, where we don't need anyone or anything. And she said that the worst kind of codependent is the one who thinks that they're needless and wantless. So yeah, lots and lots to talk about there. But today, Jackie and I are just going to narrow in on that concept of knowing when we need help and being able to ask for it. So that interdependent
Right. quality. Well, and I think we'll also touch on, because talking about taking responsibility for needs and wants.
Yeah.
And needs and wants are different. And a lot of times if you grew up in, you know, a culture like mine, or I think even a culture like ours here in the U.S., needs are valid.
Right.
But wants, it's almost like, well, you shouldn't really want anything that you don't need.
Yeah. Well, and I think also a lot of needs get put in that want category when there's just not resource to meet them.
Right. Right. And so we get confused, right? Because it's okay to have needs, even though our needs might not be getting met, but it's not okay to have wants. Well, then our wants are going to become needs because the reality is we have both needs and wants and both are important.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I like the part that she talks about being able to ask for without guilt or shame. I think that's part of that knowing the self that we've been talking about in the previous episodes in this series. As we know ourselves, as we know our wants and needs, I think we can stand in those firmly without feeling guilt or shame for having needs and wants.
Right. If I just really want something, I can get pretty manipulative if I don't feel like it's okay for me to have wants.
Yeah.
And so I can go to other people and request that they help me meet my want, but I can get pretty manipulative and deceitful in my sales pitch to them.
Yep.
Because I can't just be direct about, hey, I have this want. Wouldn't it be awesome to do this?
Yeah.
And would you go along with me on this journey, right? Because I think somewhere in my belief that I can't have wants.
I don't remember if we talked about this in an earlier episode, but Pia Melody talks about how peeping is just as offensive as roaring at people. Because she says in the peep, like it's this very quiet or this very soft, here's what I want, and it makes people lean in. And you can tell when you hear her talk about it in the lecture, you can tell she's just annoyed like to no end by people who do
by
that.
Peeping.
She's like, isn't that just as offensive? and it is. And that's
well, it
that,
is manipulative, right? It's making them listen super hard to you. So you're grabbing their attention by being so quiet.
Yeah. And rather than saying, like, I think there are times where we're legitimately, we need someone close and we need someone caring for us and paying attention to us. And rather than being able to say, hey, I'm feeling insecure, I could use some support, or I could use you close here, we put out that little bit of information, just that little peep, and we get that person close, but they don't know why they're close.
Right.
They don't know what we want.
We're not being direct about
it.
We're being very passive aggressive.
Yeah. So the scenario that always comes up for me in asking for help, and I think Patrick Carn said something about this, the the grocery store scenario. I think about it every time I go to the grocery store for one or two things. I am famous, or I have been famous for, I'm trying to work on it. I've been famous for wasting a lot of time looking for things and a lot of time thinking like, these idiots don't know how to lay out a grocery store. This doesn't make sense. Like,
this should clearly be in this section. Right,
because I'm such a grocery stock expert. But he talks about getting lost in the grocery store for hours or for a long time looking for one or two things rather than finding a clerk and asking where those things are at so that you can be really direct about what you're doing and you can be in and out like you intended. And I think about that every time I go to the grocery store looking for one or two things, and it's almost this barometer for my emotional health, right? If I go to the grocery store and the first thing I look for is a clerk versus the items that I don't know where they're at, I usually end up leaving the store patting my back like, that's a good job, John. You asked someone for help.
You're in such a good place right now.
You're a functional adult. But I think that there is, especially being a man in North American culture, I think there is a lot to be said for willingness to ask for help.
Right.
That's certainly not, if I ever did any formal man training, that wasn't one of the classes. Mm-hmm. Like, when you need to ask for help, or don't be an idiot, just ask for help.
Right, or don't ask for help because you shouldn't need it as a man.
That was more of the formal training. Mm. I think every class, quote unquote class, was centered around like, you're a man, you can figure it out, you can be tough, you can be independent.
And we were talking about this in preparation to record this episode because you were using that example that you had heard, you think Dr. Carnes talk about the grocery store. And I said, you know, I don't generally do that. Like and it's not because I'm a pillar of health over here, but
what?
I know, sorry. I think that in a lot of cultures and societies, women are conditioned or taught, socialized to think that they do need help.
Yeah.
And so asking for help doesn't feel as such an affront to us. And it feels actually quite normal because we are told, you know, whether it's because it comes in the message that we're weaker, so of course you're going to need help, or I think it's more in our conditioned makeup, right? Not in our DNA makeup, but in our conditioned makeup that of course I need help.
And just as you're talking about that, I noticed this really interesting gap between the genders. Again, when I'm not in a great place emotionally, when somebody asks me for help, the first thing I think is, why do you need help with this? Mm. Shouldn't you be able to figure this out? It's not that hard. I know how to do it. So it's interesting, like, we condition men to be counter-dependent and we condition women to be codependent.
Right.
And then, you know, we have all these relationship problems that can arise from that, right?
Imagine. How would that happen? Yeah. And you know, I was telling you as we were preparing to record that, like, for me, I mean, I'm short. So I think the last time I measured my height, I was like 5'2", 5'2 and a half maybe, or maybe I just added the half because I wanted to.
I say that I'm 6'1". I'm actually 6 feet and an eighth of an inch.
Oh,
but
okay.
It's over six, it's so over I get six. To round up.
So maybe I'm 5'3". But I, you know, when I'm at the grocery store, like, there are just things I can't reach.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's not uncommon for me to be like, I need that, but I also need a tall person. And I'll just go look for somebody and be like, hey, I need a tall person. You're tall. Can you come get this for me? So part of that, like, I've just had to learn, like, as a short person, like, they don't leave little stepladders in the aisle to use,
right,
that I can, like, march up and grab what I need to.
I was going to say, I remember when you bought the stepladder for our break room, and you were very proud, like, I can use this, and I can reach the top shelf.
Right, I was getting a book out of one of the cupboards the other day for a client, and I, you know, got out the stepladder, and he was like, do you want me to get it? And I was like, oh, no, I can. I marched up the ladder and grabbed the book.
So I think that one of the things that recovery brings us to in general is this need to confront how we've been conditioned and whether or not that still serves us.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, like, there's so much of life that's so much bigger than we are by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think you can get around that. There have been several individuals that I've worked with that have said something along the lines of, like, My goal is to learn how to do this by myself better. Or my goal is to not need other people as much as I need them now. And that's usually one of the points of denial, that there's a lot of tension around between me and the client as we focus on that. Like, it's not really a real expectation that you can figure out everything you need to by yourself.
Right.
Even though your life story might indicate that
at this point. If we have figured out that I don't need anybody, we've done something too well.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's not a good balance. Like, and I've shared before, I don't think I shared this in our episode on boundaries, but there was a time in my life, you know, a significant period of time where I would say I did boundaries too well.
Yeah.
And nobody got in, right? Yeah. Like, I was completely on my own behind the walls that I had erected. And that's boundaries done too well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that sounds like what PMLD talks about, like the needless and wantless. I'm an island.
Yep.
I'm protected here. I don't need inflow. I don't need outgo. Like,
yes.
I would be fine with or without
in
anyone.
In fact, I remember being at maybe 14 and listening to one of Simon and Garfunkel's albums, which was not necessarily for my time period, but, you know, we listened to that.
It's still really good
music. It is a good music. And, you know, listening to these one lyrics that said that, like, I am a rock, I am an island. And it talks about, like, I have no need for friendship. Friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like taking that as an instruction manual.
Right on, Simon. Right,
like, where I was like, that works for me. Okay, yeah. How do I do this? Like, you know,
yeah.
And I had a problem because at the time I didn't like reading. I really like reading now, but it talked about, like, I'm safe with my books. And I was like, okay, I got to find something else because that's not going to work for
books
me.
Means.
But I gotta find something. And I listened to that song now, and it's a good song, but it's sad for me that I literally took that as an instruction manual, which is not how Simon and Garfunkel probably intended.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably talking more about the pain of being that way.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, before we started recording, and as you're bringing that up, yesterday, it's been really good weather here. Like, we're having 60, 70 degree
perfect spring
days.
Weather.
Yeah. Awesome, awesome stuff. Usually I don't get out our trampoline until, like, I make my kids, I'm really mean, I make them wait till like almost May. And my excuse is, if we put it out too early, the grass isn't going to grow and I don't want a crappy lawn. So yesterday, I had the morning before I had to come in and have appointments, and it was just me and my 4-year-old. And I've really been trying to be more mindful about time with my kids and making that really quality and connective. So he kept like, we need to go watch something on TV. I'm like, no. And so this idea comes to me, and I said, let's go set up the trampoline. And he's like, yeah, let's do that. I'll help you. And when you talk about doing boundaries too well, I think I do anti-dependency too well. Like, I do efficiency too well. And I can get really locked in. This is what we have to do, and this is how it has to be done, and this is when it needs to get done. And I have literally, like, stepped in front of people after I've asked for their help and done it because they're not doing it fast enough. And I do that with my kids. Like, my oldest, he's not real excited about helping. And I think a lot of that's on me, because I haven't provided good experiences when he has tried to help. So yesterday morning we're setting up the trampoline, and, you know, it's big stuff. There's a heavy basket full of springs and a big pad and the net and, the bars and stuff. And, my 4-year-old kept saying, like, I'll do this, Dad, because it's little and I can carry this. And you carry the big thing because you're stronger. But when that big thing gets smaller, then I can carry it because I'll be stronger. So I've been doing EMDR for myself, and I've been doing neurofeedback for myself. And one of the things I've been working on is that impatience and kind of that anger. And so I felt like I've had more bandwidth to just let things be what they would. And it was a really great experience yesterday morning. I got the pad all laid out, and my 4-year-old said, I want to do the springs. So I showed him how to do it. And, you know, starting out, there's not tension. So, he did every spring up until you had to start stretching him, cause he wasn't strong enough to stretch him. And it took forever.
Right.
And I could hear that part of me talking that was like, this could be so much quicker.
This should have only taken this long.
Yeah. But the majority part of me was saying, I'm connecting with my son, and this is awesome to see him do this. He's proud of every spring he puts on. And then when it got to the point where it was like he couldn't pull it to stretch it, then he said, you need to do this part because you're stronger than me. So I had him hand me the springs, and I would tell him, like, you can move that box closer that the springs are. And he's like, no, I can go get it. So he's walking all the way around the trampoline to get it. And, you know, again, takes a really long time. But he said to me at one point during it, and it really hit home, like, why I was setting up the trampoline with him. He said, Dad, this is fun. I said, yeah, I'm having fun too. And he said, because we're building something together and we like that. Mm. And it hit me in there, like, how much work it's taken me to really move past that interdependence and into that place where it's not just I'm asking people for help, but I'm able to put myself in a position where doing something with someone is more about the relationship than it is about the activity.
Well, and I think that's such a great story, because as you were talking, and I was thinking back to what we had just been talking about, needs and wants, right? Like, you want to build a relationship with your boys, right? Like, you want a close relationship, and yet you have this need to be efficient, right? And I think in functional adulthood, we can start to weigh that out and recognize which one holds a little bit more, and to really own that, right? Like, I don't have to, I mean, maybe in this instance with this story, you wouldn't feel bad about wanting a good relationship with your kids. But if your need to be efficient weighs more than this need for relationship, right, then this need and this want now contradict. And you may actually go with the need, which shuts down getting what you want.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I would say has unfortunately been the balance thus far. Mm-hmm. Is really shutting down one side of the equation because the other side's out of balance. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think sometimes that is what we're doing as parents, and yet there's this underside of that. Like, we are as parents, we are getting our kids to the point that they don't need us anymore. Mm-hmm. And if we haven't done our own work, right, we may not consciously have that thought that I am getting them to not need me, but we will feel a loss. Yeah. And that might get in the way of us actually parenting them and getting them to functional adulthood, because I still have this need to be needed.
Which is where so much of the confusion comes for us as adults who are trying to get and stay in functional adulthood is, you know, clearly we were not given a model for how that was supposed to work.
Right.
We didn't experience that ourselves. We didn't see functional adults
right
at work. We saw some confusing mixture of, I think PMLE talks about children who do adult things, which is, mm-hmm. you know, really who a lot of us were raised by.
Right. Or who were raised to be. Like, I know I was at a young age, I had to do adult things.
Yeah. Yeah. You had brought up the point of our childhood needs versus, or our child needs versus our adult needs,
right,
and being able to tell the difference
that in this trait as a functional adult, that we can take 100% responsibility for our adult issues over needing and wanting.
Mm-hmm.
Not, and that doesn't mean, right, like our childhood needs and wants that are present in our adulthood, that, because, you know, so for example, I think the example that I was using with you is, you know, as an infant, I have a need to have my caretaker really kind of sync with me and to immerse themselves in me,
mm-hmm.
right? So, I mean, we know that, like, holding that infant closely and kind of that mother-to-infant gaze and just really the mother really tuning into the child and being all about the child is really critical in the first year.
Yeah.
And we have a need for that as an infant, right? It helps us feel secure in our world. It helps, I mean, at a very, very young age, even before speech happens, we're starting to feel this, my world is a friendly place and my needs are safe.
Well, and it's so much of a need, and this is where I think some of that needing and wanting gets confused.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much of a need that in the extreme, when infants don't get that, they die. It's
right.
Failure to thrive.
Right.
But you notice how... you know, and I was guilty of this as a parent with a little baby, like sometimes just saying, like, he wants to be held too much.
Right. Or thinking you're spoiling the baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there are some of those especially with little children, like I am constantly being reminded of like how basic of needs they have, and how basic I need to get in being able to bridge the gap between what they need and want, mm-hmm. and what they can access themselves in the world.
Right. Or I remember saying to my husband multiple times, like, today, like, the kids just needed way more touch than I need. So don't touch me. Like, I don't want a hug. Don't need me right now, right?
I have 5 units and they were done by 11. I've
already been needed enough. But I can't make my kids feel guilty about needing me that much or needing to touch me and climb on me and be held by me. You know, so a functional adult is able to say, okay, these are their needs and their appropriate needs.
Yeah.
They are not my needs. But as a functional adult, I set my needs and wants aside for somebody who is dependent upon me.
Which Joseph Campbell will say when a new life is created, the life that created that new life is in decline. And life's purpose is now to protect and foster that new life. So that new life can continue giving and contributing to the world. And, you know, you can take that to extremes and say, okay, I guess the whole purpose of my life now is to raise children.
Right. It's all downhill from here.
But I think there's some truth to that, that when we bring new life into the world, we do have a responsibility to protect and foster. And sometimes that means setting aside what we're needing and wanting
Now. Well, and some of that, right, this is where some of our adult needs are actually our unmet child needs.
Yeah.
So if I, as an adult, want to have a baby so that I will feel loved, that's backwards, right? That is my unmet childhood need that now I'm putting on my child.
Yeah.
And my child doesn't get to be a child because I need them to be something for me.
Yeah.
So again, this is where, you know, if this need that is appropriate as an infant to have kind of this caretaker completely immersed and sinking with us, and putting us as this priority in their life, if that wasn't met, and so I have this hunger for that, and in adulthood, I'm wanting people to love me that way, that's not functional adulthood, right? Yeah. Because those aren't adult issues of needing and wanting.
Well, and being on the other side of that, like being the other adult that adult with childhood needs is coming to, that's really confusing and it's really hard. Like it can feel like, I often talk to, you know, but both addicts and the spouses of addicts that I work with, like, doesn't that feel like you're standing at the edge of a black hole and you're trying to throw dirt in it and fill it up? And they're like, yes, like, I don't feel like I can do enough of what my partner is saying that they need.
Right. And this is where we see some of the narcissism, right? That evolves from not getting these needs met, but not knowing how to be a functional adult. And so in the narcissistic behavior, they're taking everything about them, which is a appropriate trait, you know, in birth to 4 years or 5 years old. But it is not an attractive trait in adulthood.
Yeah.
Where the world revolves around you.
Or a functional adult.
Right. And that everything that you see is about your needs and your wants.
Yeah. Yeah. And that really, like you were saying, that really goes back to those unmet needs in childhood. Those are some of the biggest pain moments I see with clients when they start to recognize, like, the way that I have been behaving and the way that I've been wanting and needing, it isn't actually about right here and now.
Right. Well, and oftentimes, right, it's a hunger in adulthood that can't just be met by it happening anymore, right? Yeah. Like, so you could get into a relationship and your partner may be appropriately giving to you, or they really do love you, but the hunger that has been growing for years and years is more than they can do.
Yeah.
And so we think that we're incompatible, or we think that they just don't love me the way that I want them to, when the case is, no, we have this unresolved hunger or trauma from way earlier in life that had just been growing and deepening.
Yeah. So I look at that. We've been talking through these other parts of this series about what that feeling in functional adulthood is. And this one for me, I think, really has that feeling of when I can put a name on it and I can put my ownership on it, then it's mine and I can do something about it. when we can't put a name, when we can't own the need or the want, then nothing's going to happen with it.
Right.
Or when things do happen with it, we have a black hole to receive it in, not, you know, open arms where that actually means something to us.
Uh-huh.
So when we can claim our needs and wants, then they really become ours.
Right.
And, you know, the things that are ours, we have a say in. The right. things that are ours, we can do something about.
And we talked about this in our episode on surviving the holidays.
Yeah.
When we were talking about birthdays, I've had a couple of clients who listened to that episode and have had birthdays
mm-hmm.
and have talked about how different their birthday was because they took ownership over what their wants were and what their needs were for their birthday.
Yeah.
And they had some of the best birthdays. You know, that was the best birthday they've had in their life.
That makes me happy. We gave a birthday present to our listeners. So yeah, I think it's probably about time to wrap up this episode. Like I said, there are 14 episodes that we could do around
right.
just this needing and wanting, and I'm sure we'll do them. So stay tuned.
Well, and as we mentioned in our last episode, we're going to be doing an episode shortly on question and answers. We're
yes.
going to do a Q&A episode. So if what we've talked about here brings up some questions for you, those would be some great things to email us about, and we can include that in our Q&A episode.
Yep, you can send that to us at thanksforsharingpodcast@gmail.com. So as we wrap up, we want to remind you that your story matters, and remember that there's something meaningful in every chapter. Don't wait to share your story until it's finished.
You can share your story with us on our Facebook page, Healing Paths, Inc., or on our website, www.thanksforsharingpodcast.com.
We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is solely for the purpose of information and entertainment and does not constitute therapy, nor should it replace competent professional help.
At the end of another episode, we want to remind you that nobody has time for perfection. We are pursuing progress.
Remember the prayer of the perfectionist. Help me remember I can't do it all. Help me to take things one step at a time, and that the only step I need to focus on is the next right step for me.
Help me to remember that life is a journey. Help me to be able to separate all that I'm learning from all that I have to do. Help me to remember that I am not alone, that I can ask for help. Help me to strive for frequent awakenings, not mastery. I am enough. Amen.